You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Colt at the River.
Well, this morning I'm going to be ministering on the miracle of Christmas. This evening in our 5:30 service, we're going to be talking about the light of Jesus. But I want to talk about the miracle of Christmas concerning Jesus. When God sent us Jesus, He sent us the best possible gift that we could ever have. And He sent us the only gift that could restore man back to their original state that man was before the fall. Jesus came to put men back in the position of dominion, back into the position of an abundance that He had with Adam. And I'm so excited because when you preach the Christmas message, a lot of people get all caught up with the fact that He was a baby, but there is great significance in the fact that God gave His only Son to save us. So I want to look at a text, if you would, up on the screen. This is in Luke chapter 2. And it says, "Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy.'" Say it with me, glad tidings of great joy. How many know there's a difference between happiness and joy? Happiness is external. If everything's going right, you're happy. Joy is inside. Amen? He said that, "Do not be afraid. I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people," not some of the people, say all the people. Now let's go on. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Hallelujah. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel of multitude of heaven hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Now, I know that you know this story, but I want you to see the significance of it. He says here that there's an event taking place where God is sending His Son into this world to deliver us. And the deliverance that I want you to understand here is to everybody. You know, sometimes people think, well, that's just for you or that's for that culture. But Jesus came to deliver the whole world of the sins that they committed. Because one day reckoning's coming, one day justice is coming, and right now God sent Jesus. It's called today is the day of salvation, where deliverance can happen in your life. But here's the part I want you to see about Jesus. Romans 5:17 says that through one man, death entered this world. Talking about in the beginning with Adam. When he went ahead and ate the forbidden fruit, death came to him, all of his offsprings were dead spiritually because of his sin. In other words, they weren't separated from God because of their own sin. They were separated because of his sin. But then it reads on and it says, "But the one man, Jesus Christ," it says, "has reversed the course through his obedience and have given us the gift of righteousness so that we might reign in life." Say reign in life. In other words, when you accept Christ, you receive what He received because of His obedience, not because of your obedience. You receive righteousness, not because of your righteousness, but because of His righteousness. You receive forgiveness of sins because He was without sin, not because you do anything, but because of Him. In other words, it's all about Jesus. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sins. He's the only one that can restore us back to the place of dominion that God intended for man to have, because He is the one. In fact, I like to say it this way. Jesus came and gave for us eternal life. Say it with me, eternal. Now, eternal life isn't short-lived. It's forever. It's unlimited. It goes on and on and on and on. Amen? Only Jesus could do this because the salvation that you receive was through His obedience. Now, here's the thing about Jesus. When He was on this earth, He was tempted in all points like us, yet without sin. And when He went to that cross and God put the sins of the world upon Him, He rose him from the dead after his death because he didn't have any sin at all. So he took our penalty and was raised up, and could only happen if God had sent his only son into the world. Natural man could not have delivered us. But a man without sin could, and that's what Jesus did. And I love the fact that it says eternal life. I don't know if you have ever thought about that. What is eternal life? Well, it's to know the Father and the Son, but it's to know the Father and Son forever. Isn't that right? And eternal life, the very fact that it says it's everlasting and continues and continues and continues and continues, paints a great picture to me. And that is this: Jesus is the only one that could obtain for us an everlasting life. He's the only one. He was the only one that was perfect. And when he was raised from the dead, he's no longer tempted. And he's the one that secures eternal life for everyone. Eternal life is not secure because you're really good all the time. It's secure because of Christ. When you receive Christ, that blessing proceeds to you. If you remember in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve had sinned, something unique happened. It said that God pushed them out of the garden, and he wouldn't let them partake of the tree of life that was in the garden. And he put an angel there with swords to keep them from touching it. And the reason why he didn't want them to eat from it, because if they did, they would have lived forever in that corruptible state. Because here's how God set it up in the beginning. He told Adam, if you obey me fully in this area, eventually you're going to be able to partake of the eternal life that I have for you. But he failed the test. We know that. Jesus came and was perfectly obedient and didn't mess up and was without sin. So now, after the resurrection, eternal life is given to you. And it's not a life that's just temporary. It's a life that's forever. It's not a life that's just, in this time here. It's forever. In other words, God has given us, through Christ's Son coming into this world, an eternal life that is forever and ever and ever and ever. See, when you receive Jesus, it's true that you can never fail completely in Christ because he can't fail. And he is inside of you. I love the expression that failure is never final. When you accept Christ, failure is never final. You may have had a bad day. You may have had a bad week. You may have had a bad family. You may have had a bad relationship. But failure is never final when you receive Christ in your life, because you receive eternal life because of his intercession, because of his obedience, because of his righteousness, because of everything because of him, and because he'll never lose what he obtained for us. It is eternal in our lives. No wonder he says he'll never leave us or forsake us, praise God. He'll be with you in the storm. He'll be with you in the problem. He will be with you forever. He's the only one that could possibly do that for you in your life. No one else could do it. And here's something that I think sometimes we miss the point. Did you ever notice in the Garden of Eden when Eve tempted Adam that she ate of the fruit first? Do you remember that? But did you ever notice that their eyes weren't open until Adam ate of the fruit? If he wouldn't have ate from the fruit, the woman never would, her eye never would have opened. She never would have died spiritually. Why? Because he was the federal head of all mankind. And that's why Jesus is referred to as the last Adam. In other words, there's not going to be any after him. There's no one else going to be able to save you like this. And he, all of his offspring, all of his children are secure because he won't ever fall. He won't ever fail. He won't ever give up. He will never be defeated. Praise God in your life. And so when you embrace that, you understand why it says that there was one, and that was Jesus, who was perfectly obedient. That couldn't have happened through the flesh, but it happened because God sent his only begotten Son into the world to set us free. Amen? Do you ever wonder why in Scripture it doesn't say this? It doesn't tell us when Jesus is coming back? You know why it doesn't tell you? Because it wants you to do something with your faith right now. Don't put it off. Do something right now with your faith. Have dominion right now. Rule in your life right now for Christ. Let the glory of God be displayed in your life right now. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. There's blessings. There's deliverance. There's being set free that's available to you right now in the faith. Praise God. I think it'd be a good time if we just praise God and thank Him for Jesus right now. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome Lord that you are. Praise God. You know, sometimes in the church, we have a tendency to misinterpret Scripture and begin to bring it down to a level that it isn't. When you accept Christ, understand what this means. Your sins are not only forgiven in the past, they're forgiven in the present, and they're also given in the future. Well, I haven't done them yet. Now, wait. People say, well, God only forgives my sins up to the point of my salvation. Then I got to get up every day and say, Lord, please forgive me of this sin. Please forgive me of that sin. And a lot of Christians live like that. But the reality, on the cross, Jesus paid for all the sins of the world. And let me ask you this question. Were you around 2,000 years ago? If you weren't, then all the sins that you were forgiven were later were forgiven 2,000 years in the past. In other words, they were all future. They hadn't been done yet. Jesus died on the cross for you. So when I got saved, God forgave me of all my sins. Not just up till salvation, after salvation. And that's why the Bible talks about verses like this, that whoever's born of God does not habitually sin, for the seed of Christ is in him and he cannot sin. That's because there is a constant forgiveness, there's a constant cleansing that is coming up, that water of living water that keeps coming up in your spirit, the Bible talks about in Scripture. We've got springs of living water in us that come from Christ that are constantly cleansing us. Constantly cleansing us in our lives, praise God. Now watch this. I want you to see this. How many ever use your phone to find a location, find a place? You get on the old navigation system, and how many have ever had this happen? Where you put in a certain address, and you're following the directions, and your wife told you that you should turn here, and you thought, no, I need to turn here. And she was right and you were wrong, and you turn, and all of a sudden the little navigation system reroutes you. The rerouting is automatic. It's built in for the dummies. Amen? Well, when you accept Christ, God puts a navigation system inside of you. And even though I may be going down the wrong road, God will say, beep, 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 you need to turn around, need to go back here, go back to this place right here. All right, I'm doing good, Lord. I'm on the right path. I'm doing good. Wait a minute, I think I'm supposed to turn here. Uh-oh. And we've all done that, isn't that right? But it's automatic, and it will not shut off. I said it will not shut off. Some of you have been on the wrong path for a long, long time, and you're in church today because the beeping system is saying, go back to where you were before. Go back to following God before. Go back and take that turn off. And I love this because this is what pastors need. Pastors always lack patience with people, but Jesus never lacks patience. That salvation that he initially gave you is still working. You may have went completely off the map. You may have take your navigation phone, put it in the glove box, and it is still rerouting you. It is still rerouting you. You may have been down the road of drunkenness, down the road of adultery, down the road of, come on, rebellion. God is rerouting you, and he's telling you, get back on track. the Jesus inside of you has living water that's coming up. And God wants to cleanse you of everything that's making you down, everything that's making you sad, everything that's making you wore out. Hallelujah. So I love that because I think sometimes we think it's not automatic. You got to do something to get it fixed. No, it's automatically working inside of you. Jesus hadn't given up on you. You may have given up on yourself, but he hadn't given up on you. He's ready to bless you. Now, here's something else I want you to see that's important. When Jesus came into the world, he became the ransom for our sins. In other words, he paid the ultimate price for every one of your sins that you would ever commit in your life. He paid off the debt. If he paid off the debt, why are we still paying it? Why are we still paying it? He paid the debt for sickness and disease. It says that he was stricken. It said that himself took our infirmities and our sicknesses, and by his stripes we were healed. He took our poverty. It said though he was rich, he became poor in order that you might become rich. I like to say, Lord, I'm not going to suffer that because you suffered that. I'm not going to get sickly because you didn't suffer that. I mean, you suffered that. You suffered on my behalf, so I don't have to suffer anymore. I don't got to suffer. Hallelujah. I think everybody needs to understand that and grasp that. Now, think of this. Think of the revelation of this. It says, and the Word became flesh, John 1:14. What in the world does that mean? Think about it. God added to his deity you. He added humanity to himself. And not just for a season. When Jesus became flesh, God was taking humanity, adding it to his deity, and then once he went to the cross and paid for your sins, God resurrected that humanity to the right hand of the Father, where God had initially wanted us all to be, and that was to reign through our humanity in the throne. Come, praise God. Someone ought to get excited about that. That's what he did. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about the Word becoming flesh. And someone said, well, how come he was a baby? It wasn't just a baby, it was conception. In other words, God went to the beginning so that everything would be covered. The child would be covered. The teenager would be covered. The young adult would be covered. The old person would be covered. He covered the whole thing. Jesus became it all. Amen? He became flesh so that we could win in life, so that we could succeed in life, so that we could prevail. Now look at this verse. This is in Isaiah 7:14. I want you to look at it. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you should call his name Emmanuel. Now notice a virgin. This is very, very important. Sometimes we undersell the virgin birth, but without it, Jesus would have inherited the sin nature because the seed of man had death in it. So what happened? God said, okay, I'm going to get past that. I'm going to cause the conception with the Holy Spirit. And that's where the virgin birth is so important, because when Jesus came into this world, he didn't have the sin nature. There was no death in his body. I know, just check this out yourself. In the book of Acts, it tells us that after Jesus had died on the cross, that his flesh did not suffer corruption. There was no death in him. I said there was no death in him. If there would have been death in him, it wouldn't have been a perfect sacrifice. There was no death in him. He is the only Savior. He is the only way to heaven. You're not going to get to heaven by no other means but by him. And understand that going to heaven is about eternal life. and eternal life is to know the Father and the Son. You remember what Jesus said in the end of the age? He said, many will say, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name and all this stuff. And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Or you could say this way, you never received eternal life. Hallelujah. That's what he said, eternal life. Eternal life is receiving the Son. Eternal life is receiving that perfect sacrifice in our life that we needed, that would get rid of the death that is in our life so that we could walk in the fullness of the righteousness of God and experience the glory and the power of God. It's that powerful. Now, there's something here that I think as a believer, you just need to embrace and rejoice. You know, as a Christian, many times you're trying to do things to earn things from God. But as a believer, it doesn't work that way. I act righteous because I am righteous. I'm not doing something to become righteous. I'm doing it because I am righteous. An eagle doesn't fly to become an eagle. He flies because that's his nature to fly. And you got to get this. It's your nature to reign. It's your nature to prevail. It's your nature to succeed. It's your nature to live right. When you got Christ inside of you, that's what you were born to do. You were born to overcome. You were born to get breakthrough. You were born to go over the top. You were born to do all of that in your life. That's why I say when Jesus came, he restored man to his original state. To have victory, not to be dominated by the devil and the flesh and the enemy. But to have victory, you know, you ever notice Christmas time, there's a lot of people that are depressed? That's because they have either been blinded to who they are in Christ, or they're not saved. Once you're saved, whew, the Bible calls it the mystery of righteousness, or the mystery of the gospel. Think about what the mystery is. In the ancient world, it was secret things told to people that were in certain sects. It wasn't public information. You had to join that organization to receive the mystery. When you get saved, the mystery of the gospel is in here. And it is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit of promise. And God gives us directions on how to perform our life in Christ. In Christ. In Christ there's healing. In Christ there's power. In Christ there's forgiveness. In Christ you're more than a conqueror, but you got to get your earth, you got to get your suit on. How many remember the movie Iron Man? I loved Iron Man. Now, Iron Man, he's just an ordinary guy, but once he got into his suit, woo, woo, boom, boom. Boom. You got to get in Christ to get the boom back in your life. Because there's great power in that. There's great power in that. And that's what I do as a pastor is I reveal some of these nuggets of truth in your life so that you can get that victory back into your life that God wants you to have. I want you to turn to someone right now and say, I'm going to pick you up in the name of Jesus. Come on, just tell them right now. You're going to pick you up. No more sadness. Only joy. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. See, obedience in your life, everything in your life is a result of Christ's obedience. If I'm obedient because I believe I've received his obedience. If I'm righteous because I believe I received his righteousness. It, whatever I'm successful in, it's because I've received it from Jesus. No longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you have within you everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. In fact, I said this, I think it was last week in one of my sermons. It was really an outstanding truth. But it was about how God values you concerning your salvation. A lot of people think, well, you're worth nothing, and whatever, and they have this really low value of themselves. But think about it for a minute. If you have an insurance policy on your car and you get into a fender bender, and first thing the insurance does is they go ahead and they want to find out how much it's going to cost to fix it. And if the cost of fixing it is greater than the value of the car, they'll total you out. Now, the good news is this: God didn't total you out. So he must have figured that you were worth the investment, since, come on, he didn't total you out. There must be enough value in you that God says, I'm going to send my son into the world to die for you, to be put on your flesh, to be tempted in all points like you, to go through weariness and tiredness and everything else so that he can do it right. Where the first man failed was wrong, so that he can bring you into his place. You must be worth it. You got to be worth it. Woo. You know, when you think about that, it really changes you, your whole perspective, doesn't it? It transforms you in a way that changes when you realize the value that God has for each one of you here today. Some of you, the reason why you're not living the life that you want is because you don't think you're worth anything. You've let other people define what your value is. You've let your mistakes define what your value is. What you need to do is go to Jesus and receive Jesus so that he can put that stamp of approval on you and say, okay, I fixed it. It was broken, but I fixed it. It was messed up. It was dented. It was crushed in, but I fixed it. It couldn't run, but I fixed it. It had oil on the floor, but I fixed it. Wheels are knocked off, but I fixed it, praise God. Because God has a value for you in your life that exceeds what you can imagine in your life. And he gives you Christ that can give you that overcoming power in your life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want all of you to stand up right now, if you would. And I'm going to relate to you a true story that I believe is really going to help you, minister to you, show you how much God loves you this Christmas and what he actually did for you. This is actually a true story, by the way, that I'm telling you. Years ago, there was a story told of a missionary. And this missionary, he went on the mission field with his son. And he felt compelled to go into a country, obviously, that he was not of. And how many know many times when you go into a place that you're a foreigner, a lot of times people bully you and they don't like you because you're not a local, whatever. And he went there and he was a missionary for years after years after years. And he was raising his son at the same time. Son was going to school. And in school, they were bullying him. They were making fun of him because he was this foreigner in their school. And this one particular kid just kept bullying him and bullying him until one day he got so angry at this missionary's son that he beat him up to the point he killed him. And the father of the missionary finds out his son was killed during this incident at school with this bully. So you can imagine he's crushed. He loves his son. Loved his son with everything. But he's dead now. So they arrest the young man that killed his son. And they put him in jail. And then the court system began to go on. And it didn't take very long because it's very obvious he was guilty of it. And so the father would go to court every time they would be doing the defense and all that stuff until finally the verdict came down, he's guilty. And the day of sentencing was put off for several weeks afterwards. So several weeks afterwards, when the day of sentencing occurred, the father went into the courtroom and he talked to the prosecutor and asked if he could talk to the judge. So the judge allowed him. before he pronounced sentence. And he went to the judge and he said, I want you to pardon the boy that killed my son. Under one condition. The judge says, what's the condition? That he would come live with me. And the judge was overwhelmed by the missionary requesting this. So he calls the young man that had killed the missionary's son to come forward, and he said, are you willing to live in the house of the boy that you killed with his father? And the young man knew, well, if I don't do that, I'm going to be put in jail forever. So he said, yes, I'll do it. So they walked out of the courtroom that day, and the father takes this boy that killed his son to his house, shows him everything in the house, and then takes him back to this place in the home where it was his son's room. And he opened the door and he says, this is now your room. Everything that I bought for my son is now yours. And that includes the inheritance I was going to give my son. Now that's a true story. And here what I want you to hear, that Jesus Christ, God sent him into this world to die for us. And we killed his son. Said it was our sins that killed his son. It was the evil of the world that is in every person that doesn't know Christ. We put him on that cross. Remember Peter said, you put him on the cross, you weren't aware of it? And my message today is this: Jesus came to save you and he died for you, but the Father purposed all of that so that you could come into his room and you could live with him forever. He loved you that much. That much. That much.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River app, and our website at theriver.church. We're the river, and we're doing life together.